Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Washington Board of Trade. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Jennifer Wappas, Pagnotto Carp, and Douglas Whiteglass Jacobson. We have a great lineup of guests joining our show today, including Bruce Kaufman, President and CEO of Human Circuit, John Matteo, President of Jackson & Campbell, Doug Bregman, President Bregman, Berbert, Schwartz, and Gilday, and John Haas, who is the CEO of Rosetta Stone. Let's get to our first guest, Bruce Kaufman, President and CEO of Human Circuit. Bruce, what is Human Circuit? What are you guys doing?
So Human Circuit is a technology design build firm working with enterprise video, meeting spaces, broadcast facilities, anything touching audio, video, data, or control.
How old is this firm?
The company turns 51 this November.
And didn't you mention to us that this was a family business where your dad was involved or something like that? What was that story?
Absolutely. So there were originally three partners in a consumer hi-fi audio business. He started the broadcast and professional group a couple years in and became Professional Products.
Interesting. So this was a business that was very early on in technology. But technology changes. Did the how large or how small was this organization at its peak?
Well, at its peak, we were probably 103 employees and
$57
million.
So this is interesting. You got 103 employees in a business that's really technology sensitive, and with technology changing all the time, did you have to at some point in time shift that organization and change the organization around or downsize it or upsize it?
Absolutely. We recognized after a while that the cost of technology was dropping dramatically. It was more readily available. The consumer side had a great effect on it, so we had to downsize and gain our agility back over time.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did that changing and being more agile have anything to do with when you happened to step in and give your dad a hand? Was that about the same time?
We came a little bit after it. It was a number of years after I joined the organization. I've been in it 23 years. It was probably about halfway through that period of time where we started to recognize that.
So was Dad happy to give you the reins?
Oh, he was very happy to hand the reins at that point. I had to make the hard decisions on a few things, and he got to sit in the background. So, yeah, he was active in it, but I was the front man for it.
Interesting. So I'm trying to figure out what prepared you to make these hard decisions. Where were you from originally?
Fourth generation Washingtonian, one of the few.
How young were you when you started making money, and what was it you were doing?
Oh, boy. So first time making money was, well, actually, as a small child, I checked every single phone booth for dimes left behind. So that's where I first started making money. But the next one was reselling magazines with a friend of mine that we used to buy at used magazine shop. And,
we had sell them again.
Steady clientele of male clients or friends who wanted to buy these magazines.
I get it. So you understand what the market, you understood the market.
Absolutely.
You're sensitive to the markets. And didn't you tell me that you also did some manual labor or something like that?
I did a number of jobs, including packing shrimp, scrubbing toilets as a janitor, scrubbing floors,
etc. So what did you or didn't you like? It sounds to me like you got this creative streak buying and selling magazines. What did you or didn't you like about being a janitor and packing shrimp?
Well, and a day laborer. I found out I slept really well doing that work, but that was the only benefit as far as I was concerned.
So you really didn't like those jobs.
I used my mind more than my hands. No,
so
not my favorite.
But it's interesting. So you're running a business where everything's changing all the time, and you've had to make some very difficult decisions regarding upsizing or downsizing the organization and what technologies to integrate. It's like everything's always changing. Isn't that like scary and frightening as opposed to taking a safe job?
It's extremely frightening. You should have seen what it looked like before I started this job. So, yeah, it's a constant thing in motion. That's part of the challenge also. There's a good part to that. It's not just fear, but fear is a good motivator, and we're constantly on the move.
Well, I mean, the thing is, if you had a normal 9-to-5 job, you'd be able, you would know exactly how much money you're making. You would know what hours you had to work. You'd be able to, I mean, right now, do you ever have to work on the weekends?
Work is fairly constant. I try not to have some semblance of family life. I try and segment it, and I'm pretty good at it, but sure, weekend work occurs.
What time do you start doing emails in the morning? What time do you finish thinking about the business at night?
Foolishly, as soon as I get up to take the dog outside, I've grabbed my phone, and I'm looking to see what the emails are.
So you're like preoccupied by this business. I mean, you got to be
pretty much
top of stuff all the time.
Absolutely.
Doug, what kind of questions you got? What do you think?
What's driving you?
What drives me is just success in general. I like having a group of people to see them succeed as well. It's always been a family feel business, and as much as we've had to change sort of the rules and made it more performance based and less loyalty based, it's still about succeeding as a group, and it's moving on to that next level. And I feel like I need to achieve something. There's a personal achievement that needs to go along with it.
Right. So it is a family business, and so it sounds like you're close to your employees, like most are. But you've gone from 100-plus employees down to 28. So how did you, and particularly your father, take that?
Well, I'll tell you what. Probably the worst day of my entire life was when we had to downsize. We were in the mid-50s at that point, and the recession hit. And we knew we had to downsize even further. And we had to let 12 employees go that had done nothing wrong. And that was probably presenting to my team that day. Where I broke down was probably the worst moment of my life, minus personal, you know, family deaths, that kind of thing.
Well, what was so terrible about it? It wasn't you.
It was not. Well, that's not exactly true. I have a sign on my desk. I stole the idea from Rudy Giuliani. It says I'm responsible. So I take everything very, very personally. Obviously, I had not done enough, in my feeling, that to keep the business where it could be sized the way it was.
Yeah, but the market changed. The business, you know,
absolutely,
there weren't the customers there. What else could you have done? What are you feeling so personally responsible for?
I come from a Jewish guilt complex. What am I going to do?
I understand. So, yeah, Jen, absolutely. What questions you got?
What makes you take that responsibility when you, I mean, was it something when you were younger? Do you remember having, like, an incident or something?
No, I don't think it was a single incident. I mean, I watched my father deal with a number of different business transactions over time where he had partners that may not have taken, and this is not the main business and side businesses and other transactions, that did not take as much responsibility as he did when things did not work out. And he took everything very personally and took responsibility for it, bound to paying the last dime, even if he could have used clauses and legalities to get out of it. And so that extra sense of responsibility sort of put itself onto me, and I follow the same thing. I take responsibility whether it's my problem or not.
Wait. So you're telling me that there's times you've had in business where you could have not paid a vendor or fired, but you don't believe in taking shortcuts in business?
Absolutely not. I do not believe in those shortcuts. I don't believe in those processes.
But I thought the game with business was to make a lot of money, and you do whatever you got to do to make a lot of money. Or maybe I'm mistaken.
No, the game with business is to satisfy the whole and not the part.
What do you mean to satisfy the whole and not the part? I'm not sure I understand.
You know, if I'm in business and I'm going to sell something to somebody or a system or help somebody out, I'm doing it to satisfy them, but I'm also hoping to satisfy both myself and the team around me.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that the name of the game is not take as much as I can, but to try to keep everybody happy all the time?
That would be the goal. I'm not telling you it works 100% of the time, but that would be the goal, in my opinion.
Okay. I'm learning something here. Doug, what else are you thinking?
So how does that responsibility and that attitude translate to your client service?
I think the way it translates is there's a very personal relationship, especially between the way our support is done, is the engineering group that designs it supports it. We do not hand it off to a third party. We don't have just field service people. So the relationship between the client and our engineer specifically grows over time, as does anybody else that works on that support team. So it is a very one-to-one kind of relationship. We only have 28 people. You're going to get to know everybody across the board, even down to the accounting team, to the warehouse people. So there's usually sort of an identification between our clients and most of our team. They usually know most of our team.
Jen, what are you thinking?
It sounds like your dad was a mentor for you. What made you want to work for him?
that was not the intent originally. There was no nepotism clause in the business. Every once in a while, when somebody's child was out of work, they got work there. So that got broken after a while. And one wing of the business talked my father into hiring me, and I was disenchanted with what I was doing, which was actually on the production side of things. I never wanted to go into sales. They talked me into it. Somehow it clicked, and that's where I ended up.
What clicked? What are you talking about?
Sales, which I thought was the worst profession on the planet until I was fully in it. And then I started to understand. I once did door-to-door newspaper sales as a kid. Possibly the worst. Worse, actually, than cleaning up floors and toilets.
But what was it about sales in this business that shifted you? What changed your mind?
The personal relationships. I got in at a time, luckily, where you were still dealing with the end users and not contracting procurement. And so those relationships that you built over time where they're saying, here's my problem, and I'm saying I'm able to fix it. There's something feels really, really good about that. And luckily, I was able to cut my teeth under that.
So you think the difference, so you don't see sales as selling. You see sales as a relationship?
Sales has changed a little bit. I won't hold that completely now, but yeah, I see sales as being should be a mutual beneficial relationship. It's not about just selling an object or selling something. You have a reason to sell it, and they should have a reason to buy it.
Wait a minute. When I have a problem with something and I call and I get the help desk, you know, usually there's a whole tree that I've got to go through, which is pretty frustrating. But you're telling me if I'm one of your customers, I'm talking to people, and I know a lot of different people in the organization.
You're buying from the wrong guys. Yeah, absolutely.
Huh. So you're really all about customer service.
Absolutely.
If we're not
a mutual fit, we should not be doing business together.
So you make a pretty significant investment in getting and keeping the client.
I do, but I also fire clients as well. It's very important that we're a mutual fit, and sometimes you're not, and that's okay. So you part company.
Interesting. What's the website address of this organization known as Human Circuit?
Very simply, humancircuit.com.
Humancircuit.com. We've been speaking with Bruce Kaufman, President and CEO of Human Circuit, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-hosts, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Jennifer Wappas, Pagnotto Carp, and Doug White, Glass Jacobson. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com. Back in a moment, right after this business break. Nice interview. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. Mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help. I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Jennifer Wapis, Pagnetto Carp, and Doug Whiteglass. Jacobson, like to introduce John Matteo, president of Jackson & Campbell. John, what's Jackson & Campbell? What are you guys doing?
We are a general civil practice law firm based in D.C.
What do you mean general? I don't understand what you're talking about.
We do litigation, trial work, business, real estate, trust and estates law, among others.
How large or how small is this organization?
We have 45 lawyers and approximately 80 employees.
Where are you from originally?
Connecticut.
How many brothers and sisters?
Two brothers and a sister.
Where are you in the pecking order?
The third of four, in between two boys.
And you mentioned earlier that you grew up living with your grandparents.
Grandmother. My grandfather was deceased.
Uh-huh. So what did your grandmother have an influence on you? Where was your grandmother from?
She was from Italy.
Uh-huh. What kind of influence did she have on you?
A lot. I spent every night with her in her part of the house, and she pushed a lot about all of us to go to school, to be educated.
What did she do to you?
Instilled in me a sense of family, the importance of it.
What are you talking about?
That was a big part of
your grandmother.
Our lives.
You hanging out with your grandmother?
She was a tough lady and controlled our family like a CEO controls a company.
I see you smiling. You really have an affection. You have quite an affection for your grandmother, don't
so.
You? What did you learn from her?
Again, the importance of family, being there for each other, being a support system. Also, the importance of moving up in the world and getting educated and getting a better life for ourselves like they did coming here.
Where was your grandmother from?
From Italy.
So you learned about family. I mean, it's evident you learned it. I mean, you wanted to hang out with your grandma. Your mom's grandmom's talking to you about family. She knows how to run things and organize things. She did a pretty good job with her family, it sounds like. And I'm trying to figure out, what was the effect of your grandmother on your building this law firm called Jackson & Campbell?
Well, the firm goes back 130 years. I've been with the firm 22 years, so one of many leaders of the firm. But I think it's the interpersonal relationships with our staff, the other attorneys, as well as with our clients.
You hear about businesses and law firms like being run like families and stuff. Is there any similarity between a family and the way you run this law firm?
Definitely with Italian families, because there's always going to be conflict resolution. It's difficult sometimes, I think, in law firms, too, because you're managing other leaders who are used to being in charge and being leaders. As well as just the challenges of any business.
And your grandmother prepared you for that? Your grandmother prepared you to manage conflict?
Yes, I think so.
Like, give me an example of an experience you had.
Well, they had a family business, and she spoke often of how important it was to trust the people who are working for you and making sure they trust you.
Wow. I thought business was all about suing people and all that other kinds of stuff. You're talking about the way, the major way your grandmother influenced your building this business, this law firm, is because of trust. That's
absolutely
fascinating. Doug, what are you picking up?
Your family that you grew up really grounded you. So how does that affect you?
I think I have a good sense of self and a good, healthy, relationship oriented personality where I enjoy speaking with people. I enjoy actually solving conflicts.
Did you work? You mentioned earlier that your uncle was a pharmacist and you started working in his store when you were 14.
Yes.
What did you learn from that experience that you use nowadays? How did that experience develop you?
Again, I think it was part of it was people. It was a small town, and I dealt with a lot of the customers that came into the store and helped him out. And he was the only one of that generation who went to college.
Yeah.
So he, again, instilled the importance of education and how that, you know, moved him along in life and helped him. So that was a very important influence as well.
Interesting. Jen?
What were you interested in as a child or a young adult? What were you? Did you have any hobbies, play any sports?
I was anything but sports. I was the black sheep of my family that only did sports. I did like to swim. I was a big, I was a lifeguard at one point. And I also was really engaged in politics, loved politics.
Doug, didn't you have some thoughts about politics and stuff here?
Yeah, so politics at a very young age just seems out of character for a child. Why was that?
It just was my interest. I always liked government. That was always one of my favorite things to study. I was involved in student government in school, and it was something that our family always discussed around the dinner table and big Italian family dinners on Sunday where everyone was discussing our politics, and so it was just always an interest of mine.
Well, how did that prepare you for practice of law?
I think every business is politics. You know, you have to just manage different expectations, manage different interests, manage different opinions, and reach a common consensus for the good of the organization.
Earlier, you mentioned, it was interesting, you mentioned something to the effect of, you know, you have a good self-esteem or something like that. And I'm trying to figure out, I'm not sure exactly what context that came up in, but what's interesting to me is, what's that have to do with the practice of law?
Well, I think you need to be a very confident person to be a lawyer, because your clients look to you for the answers at some of the most troubled times of their lives or their businesses, and they're looking to you to help them.
Did that happen when you were working in the pharmacy as a kid? People would come in and you'd like take them under your wing?
Not really, because I was so young. It wasn't really in that setting.
Did you see that happen with your uncle?
Yes.
What?
Well, I think, he trusted me.
Uh-huh.
He knew that he can rely on me. We always had to be there, those of us in the family who worked for him, whenever, the few times he wasn't there for his rotary meeting or whatever. And he trusted us because he had a temporary person in the pharmacy part.
You didn't steal candy or money out of the register and stuff like that?
No, never. Never.
Why?
The way we were raised.
What are you talking about?
I think it would have really been a shameful thing in our family if that was found out, or it just wasn't the right thing to do.
What are you talking about, the right thing to do? Nobody would have known.
We came from a very strong Catholic family, too.
Uh-huh. How's that affect your practice of law?
Well, I think, I hope every lawyer can answer it this way, but certainly for me, is that I'm an honest person.
How's that affect your building the team and the staff?
I think that my staff knows that if I say something, it's true, even if it's a tough decision, that what they're hearing from me is, in fact, the truth.
So you're an old-fashioned kind of guy. When you shake somebody's hand, that's the deal. You stand behind it.
Yes.
Even if it doesn't necessarily work to your betterment.
I think that's a correct statement.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Have you ever had a client that you didn't want to work with and you turned down because you...
Yes.
Why was that?
It hasn't happened that often, mm-hmm. but on the one or two occasions, it actually goes back to this honesty. They weren't honest with me. You can't help a client that's not telling you all the facts or the truth.
I thought the whole thing is, like, when you represent a client, it's attorney-client privilege. You don't have to really tell the whatever. You know, you're trying to manifest things the best to the client, and it doesn't really matter if they're telling you the truth or not.
That I would disagree with that statement, because without knowing that, you can't help them. It is privilege, and that's the beauty of that rule, is that they can tell you anything without it being disclosed.
So you really, this thing about trust goes back to your grandmother, huh?
And my dad and mom.
Well, and what'd your dad do for a living?
My dad was a barber, among other jobs.
Did you ever go to the barber shop when he was cutting hair?
Absolutely.
What was that experience like?
Maybe a RFD with a bunch of guys hanging around and talking politics.
What'd you learn from that? How'd that influence you? How did that experience influence you, that working in a barbershop?
I think my dad's a real people person, and I inherited that from him.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. What's the website address for this organization?
JacksCamp.com.
We've been speaking with John Matteo, president of Jackson & Campbell, here on Executive Leaders Radio.
Biz Talk Radio is now available on Amazon Echo. Just add the Biz Talk Radio skills, then ask Alexa for the latest business news. You'll instantly get live, relevant information from the best business source, Biz Talk Radio. Alexa, open Biz Talk Market Tips.
A promise was made, a promise that hit the beaches of Normandy, a vow that captured Iwo Jima, a contract that weathered Tet, a pledge that stormed the desert in Iraq, an IOU that braved IEDs in Kandahar. A promise was made to America's veterans. DAV fights to keep that promise so all veterans and their families get the benefits and support they earned. For help, visit DAV.org.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619. 405-6619.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Doug Bregman, president of Bregman, Berbert, Schwartz, and Gilday. What is Bregman, Berbert, Schwartz, and Gilday? What are you guys doing?
We are a law firm that has a civil practice. We do work in areas such as real estate, business law, wills and estates, employment law, litigation.
How large or how small is this firm?
We have 25 lawyers.
All right. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have an older brother and two younger sisters.
All right. Who had the greater effect on you, your older brother or your two younger sisters?
They all had an effect on me. I would say the one with the most effect is my older brother.
And let me ask you this. What kind of sports did you play as a kid?
I played every sport. I love sports.
What kind of sports?
I played basketball, baseball, football. I was on the crew team.
All right. In basketball, what was your role?
My role was as a point guard. It's something that people don't do too much of these days. My job was to bring up the ball, call the plays, pass the ball in, and make sure the team gelled around trying to score.
In baseball, what was your role?
I was a pitcher.
What's the common thread between basketball, your role is in basketball, your role in baseball, and your role in this firm as president of Bregman, Berbert, Schwartz, and Gilday?
It's a good question. I think probably one of the common features is as a leader, as somebody who brings everybody together and gets them to work towards a common goal.
I thought the leader was dominating and tells people what to do, and if they don't do it, like, get out of here.
I'm definitely not a dominating type of leader. I like to lead by example. I like to work hard, do my part, and hopefully people follow the lead and do the right thing based on what they're seeing me do.
How about that? Okay, that's cool. Doug, what are you picking up?
Yeah, Doug, you talked about at a very early age working in the family store, working your dad's store. How did that experience help to shape you to where you are?
That was an amazingly formative part of my life, working with my dad in the store. Sometimes I worked there every day, after school and on weekends.
What were you doing at that store?
I did everything. I started probably, I was 6 years old, working the candy counter, making sure all the candies were in the right place. And when people would come in and mess up the candies, I'd put them in put them where they needed to be.
Hold on for 1 second. Did your dad tell you to put the candies back where they were supposed to be, or did you just naturally do that?
That was a natural thing.
What, to keep things organized?
To keep things organized. I took my job very seriously. It was a big responsibility. I was a young kid. And I felt important putting all those candies where they needed to be.
So how does that have anything to do with what you're doing nowadays, running this law firm, keeping things organized, feeling responsible? What's the parallel there?
I never thought of it, but there probably is a parallel. The concept of keeping things in their right place, making sure everybody was got what they needed from the candy counter and what they need from the law practice.
So you weren't a kid that was like going and eating the candy in the back room. You were really taking responsibility. It's the same thing you're feeling with building this law firm.
I was the kid taking the candy and eating it behind the counter. I still do that in the law firm. We have candy all over the place, and I'm eating it.
All right, we're going to have to visit the law firm and check that one out.
We have good candy.
There you go. Doug, what else are you thinking there?
Yeah, so you worked with your dad in the store. Your mom was a teacher, was not involved at all. But you have traits from both your parents, it appears to me. What did you get from your mother?
My mother was a teacher, and I also teach. I've been I teach at two different law schools. I'm an adjunct professor at two schools, and I teach a lot of courses for continuing education of lawyers. I teach in my community in different community events, and so I think that's the piece that I took away from my mother, the academic and the desire to give back to the community through teaching.
Jen?
You had mentioned that your mom wasn't too thrilled with the store growing up. How did that have an effect on you, and how does it help you now?
My mother didn't appreciate that my father was a member of the merchant class. She was a daughter of immigrant parents and felt that we needed to progress beyond being merchants. So there was tremendous tension between my mother and my father, and I think that that was formative in its own way, in that I was the mediator between my parents, trying to keep them from fighting all the time. And I do a lot of mediation in the law practice.
Ah, so your mom and dad's relationship prepared you for the practice of law, huh?
It definitely did.
Uh-huh. Doug, what else are you thinking?
Yeah, that's good. So that helped with mediation. You also seem to be like it's giving back. I guess your father being a merchant, was he pretty good with the customers as far as giving back to them wherever he could? Your mom taught you the same thing. Is that just really driven into you?
Yes. My father was very good with the customers. He's very much of a people person and very involved in the community. A lot of the people who shopped in the store from time to time couldn't afford what they needed to buy, and my father let them owe him money on account. He didn't really even keep notes of a lot of the money that was owed to him, and people would come in out of the blue and just drop a $20 bill on the counter because they owed money. And so and my father was a very big participant in various charities in the community.
You remember this as a child?
Absolutely.
How did you think your father was cuckoo? Do you think he was crazy? How were you feeling about that?
My father probably was cuckoo and probably was crazy, but he was loved by the community. People shopped in the store because they loved my father. They loved coming in. They loved talking with him, sharing the stories, talking about politics. My father was a big jokester, told jokes to everybody, and he was loved by the community.
How's all that
shopped in the store?
How's all that affecting you nowadays?
It's a good question. I think I like to feel the same way that he felt in the store. I like the clients to feel very good about me and our law firm and the kind of things we do for them. And probably that's derivative of that experience watching my father.
Have you ever had a client that couldn't necessarily pay the bill?
We have way too many of those.
And what do you do in those instances?
You know, if a client is making an effort to pay a bill, whether it's $5 here or $10 there, I'm happy with that. We don't charge interest. We work with our clients.
So you're all about heart.
There's a lot of heart in our practice.
Doug?
That sort of really helped you as far as going forward with all of your client and I guess your staff relations as well.
Oh, I've got a question I'd like to interrupt. There was a... you mentioned, we were talking earlier, and you mentioned that we thought you had a really deep sensitivity toward people. And we asked you, how young were you when that sensitivity toward people began to show up? You mentioned something that happened in fifth grade. What was that?
Yeah, we had a new, where we grew up in West Philadelphia, it was a very close-knit community. And when somebody new would come into the community, they had to really prove themselves. They were shunned at the beginning. So I remember a new kid moved in the neighborhood. People didn't really pay much attention to him, didn't like him. And I took him under my wing, showed him how to get on the bus and off the school bus, where to go in the school. And I introduced him to all my friends and tried to get him to play on the various teams that I was playing on. And eventually he started to feel good about himself and his place in the community.
Well, why would you do that? Wouldn't you be risking your own neck by bringing somebody different in?
There's some truth to that. It wasn't. There were points of doing that that were not comfortable. At one point, he actually got very upset with me and felt that I was being a little bit too paternal. And we got into somewhat of a fist fight over that.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it was a little risky, but I felt good doing it.
Felt good doing what?
Helping him incorporate himself into our close-knit community.
Wow, even though he was uncomfortable with it, perhaps.
Yeah, he had his own baggage, and part of that baggage was he didn't want to be shown around all the time. He didn't want to be...
But you really took him under your wing.
How's that
expressing itself in terms of your building this law practice?
I think everybody that comes to work for our firm, I feel the same way about. I want them to feel close to each other. I want them to feel part of the firm family. I want them to feel that they're treated on an egalitarian level and that everybody is of tremendous value to the law firm and from day one. Should feel part
so
of
it's
the
not
operation.
Just you know you're not just having a once a year Christmas party, but really it sounds to me like that's really the way you're treating everybody.
Yeah, every day is a Christmas party. Every day we try to get along with each other. We have a Friday lunch where the firm pulls everybody together, the lawyers, the support staff. The firm buys lunch for everybody.
Yeah.
And we sit and we talk about movies we've seen and what we're going to do over the weekend and what's going on with our
kids. Why did you tell me that at the beginning of the interview? That would have really helped us understand who you are. What's the website address?
You mean that I eat a lot?
No, that you really have a camaraderie amongst the team. What's the website address of this law firm?
It's BregmanLaw.com.
Let me have that one more time.
BregmanLaw.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Doug Bregman, president of Bregman, Berbere, Schwartz, and Gilday here on Executive Leaders Radio. Back in a moment right after this business spotlight. Excellent. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, are truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com to hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement.
Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752.
Employees of J.T. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Guy Brahmi, who is a principal at an organization known as Gelberg Signs. Guy, what is Gelberg Signs?
Gelberg Signs is a full-service sign company designing, fabricating, installing, and servicing just about every type of sign.
And how large or how small is this organization?
We have roughly 100 employees. We should hit about $13 million this year. We've got 50,000 square feet.
How old is the business?
Been around since 1941.
Mm-hmm. Where were your parents from?
Parents were from Tunisia.
Tunisia. When did they come to the United States?
1959.
So they came to the United States, your parents, in 1959. And how do you think that affected you and the business?
When they came here, it was us. So we had a small family. It was my immediate family and an uncle. So we were very close-knit family.
What do you mean it was us? What are you talking about? You came to a big country.
Well, when they came here, they didn't speak English. I was born here, but my two brothers, who are my partners in business, with them, it was really just the five of us in our household and one uncle.
And what ended up happening when your father told his family that there's an opportunity of buying this business? What was the reaction of everybody?
Well, we saw it as a great opportunity to get in business together.
No. Usually what happens is everybody says, I don't really care. I don't want to work with you. I don't like you. What happened with your family?
We got together and we decided it would be a great opportunity.
who decided that? What happened there?
It was a family decision. So literally over the dinner table.
Over the dinner table, your father. Do you remember your father mentioning this to you?
Absolutely.
Do you remember your reaction, your emotional feeling at that time?
It was excitement.
Excitement. How young were you when you started making money?
About 8 years old.
And what was it you were doing?
Delivering newspapers, helping my brother with his paper route.
Oh, so you're used to working with the family. And how long did you have that newspaper route for?
Well, once my brother gave it up, I continued it until I worked about 5 years delivering newspapers.
That's sort of strange because most kids that have a newspaper route do it for 3 weeks or maybe a year. You did it for a number of years. So your nature is to really get involved with the family because you enjoy doing this with your brother. and then do it for a long period of time. Is that parallel what you're doing in your business career?
I'd say absolutely. I enjoy going to work every day. I think every problem that's presented to you can be solved with just hard work and effort, and I get a great deal of satisfaction of just having a problem presented and overcoming it with effort.
Whether in business or in life, what you know sums up your life motto?
Right. Well, I'll go back to something I said. That is effort. The joy I receive in work is seeing the effort pay off. Hard work coming in every day. I get to work every morning at 5:30 in the morning. I saw my father do that. I saw my father come home for dinner. His one rule in the house was be home for dinner. That's the rule in my house.
Tom?
Knowing that, how do you balance the rest of your life, and what was the model at home that empowered you?
Sure. So how does that balance now?
Yeah. In terms of balance work, and are you 24/7 with work?
No, I wish it was 20. I'm glad it's not 24/7, but we have excellent balance. I've got two kids. They're both quite involved in sports, as I was when I was a kid. Well, so there's a lot of good dinner
conversations.
What's
conversation. The similarity between being a principal in this business and being a dad? The similarity?
I think it's a matter of just showing the kids how hard work, how effort pays off.
Mark?
So you said you grew up, you had a close relationship with your family and your brothers. Everybody establishes a sort of a pecking order or something in a particular role. How has that role changed working with your brothers now, if it has?
Certainly when I came into the business, I was the baby in the bunch. Now we certainly divide our responsibilities equally, and we certainly take the appreciation that there's always two other people in the building that care as much as I would.
It's really about the team. It's about us. What do you do to enjoy yourself? What do you enjoy?
I'm a coach of my son's baseball team. I play a little golf and love spending the weekends with the family.
At home, who wears the pants in the family?
Definitely my wife.
Is she really?
Absolutely.
So you're very comfortable, trusting. You feel safe with family members. Do you have close friends?
I do.
Does mom ever come into work?
She used to. She doesn't any longer, but she did come in for probably about 10, 15 years.
How do you think she felt coming into the office and watching what her kids did?
I know she felt great about it. That was probably one of the biggest joys of going to work with our family, is seeing the joy on my parents' face.
Huh. What was one of the biggest challenges you can remember from your youth interacting with your siblings?
We have a big age difference. My oldest brother is 12 years older, and the one next closest is 4 years older. So we didn't quite have the typical dynamics in the family.
Interesting.
In that sense, the challenges are always with the idea that you can say what you want to your to your family, and
excellent.
That can sometimes be a great thing in business,
excellent.
But sometimes you have to have some thick skin.
Mm-hmm. Mark?
Who had the biggest influence on you growing up?
I would say probably I remember having a history teacher. I just loved his approach to teaching the class and treating every student like they were an adult.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, just that. It was a respect. Being in a classroom, I think it was 10th grade, normally being treated like just another kid and growing up in school, seeing someone treat everyone in the class like they were an adult, like they had something important to give. I just remember that standing.
So as opposed to yelling and screaming at everybody, he did what?
Good point. He was at a calm demeanor, spoke to you like you were an adult.
So he made you feel important. He made you you felt responsible.
Absolutely. He appreciated hearing your opinion.
Do you do that with your team?
Absolutely.
What do you mean?
We have an open door policy in our office, and I like to say I'm part-time psychiatrist in the office as well.
So you really have a sense of the other team. You want that team's input. You're not the smartest guy on the team then.
Oh, by far not.
Did I embarrass you by saying that?
No. You're very accurate. I approach every situation thinking that I'm probably not the smartest person in the room. And I think that's actually something I've told my kids
that's too.
Never walk into a room thinking you're the smartest
person. Yeah, because that means you keep smart people around you. What's the website address of this organization?
GelbergSigns.com.
GelbergSigns.com. We've been speaking with Guy Brahmi, who's the principal of Gelberg Signs here on Executive Leaders Radio, as well as we've had the opportunity of speaking with Trish Furick, president of First Virginia Community Bank, Laura Taylor, president of Silverline Communications, Guy Brahmi, principal of Gelberg Signs, and Michael Sanders, president and CEO of Interactive Government Holdings. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to thank my co-host, Tom McBride, Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mark Haas, AEG, and Catherine Ferguson Cooley for giving me a hand structuring the questions they'll be providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. And have a nice day, and thank you for joining us today. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.